Well, good day to everyone, and welcome to session 9 in our series of My Firm Foundation. I trust this has been beneficial for those of you who have been believers for a long time, as well as those few who I know are watching who have not been believers for a long time. And I think we all need to get reestablished on this foundation. So it's been a great study for me, and I trust it has for you as well. Now, let me review a little bit. Last week, we talked about in Him, love and righteousness. And what we've been doing over the past couple of weeks is looking at in Him realities. So we begin this look at who we are in Him, examining three relationships that describe God and man, part of our reality of being in Him, but it needs to be part of our identity. And that's what we're really working for. And you'll see that more today. The first one of those was God is for me. The second one is God is with me. And the third one, which is the first two, were true for the Jewish people. It is true for you and I. But this third one is just about you and I. And it is God is in me, His Holy Spirit placed in us. And in 1 Corinthians 6:17, the Amplified, it says this last phrase, the person who is united to the Lord becomes one with Him, one spirit with Him, excuse me. So we're joined with, we're in union with, we are one spirit with Him. That is a big, big deal. Next, in this study last week, we looked at in His love. And that's how we are in Him. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So you see the importance of the Holy Spirit being given. All of this that comes to us in our identity comes with Him. John 17:26 also instructs us that when Jesus was praying, He said, talking about the love that the Father loved Him with, that love with which you love me may be in them, just as I'm in them. So His love in me. What possibilities that opens the door for you and I. It's so great that we can walk in His love, we can love others like He loved, and how is our faith energized? By that love. Now, we spend a lot of time on righteousness. Now, you know that for many of you who have been with us for a long time, previous year, we studied righteousness for a number of weeks. But we've been made righteous in the righteousness of God. How? In Christ. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5:21 teaching us. Righteousness we viewed as meaning as right standing. There's no sin to separate us between God. We can be righteous in His presence. That's why we can come boldly to the throne of grace, to take mercy and receive grace when we need it, in those times of when we need His help. And how do we do this? How does that verse end? Become the righteousness of God in Him, or in Christ. And remember, the complete Jewish Bible we saw said this, so that in union with Him, we might fully share God's righteousness. What a blessing. What just almost unbelievable fact. It's one of those too good to be true things, but it is. So in righteousness, we have no record, no rap sheet that we've ever done anything wrong. It just does not exist. It's just as if I'd never sinned. And that puts us in a position to receive His grace, which is God's desire to treat me just like I'd never sinned. But we must develop this righteousness consciousness, and that's what we looked at last week. In Ephesians 4:23, the New Living Translation says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So this is about not just our spirit, which has already been renewed, but here spirit means our thoughts, our attitudes, the way we think about ourselves, the way we see ourselves. What picture do you see when you look at yourself? Do you see it as righteous? You see yourself as righteous, as free, with total access to God. And that's really affirmed to us in Romans 8:1-2. And starts off in 1, says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. If you've been born again, if we've asked Jesus into our life, this describes us. No condemnation. Why? Because there's no sin to bring about any guilt. It's been removed. But verse 2 says this, "And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." What a great encouragement that is. And it's just affirming what we saw in verse 1. So today, what I want to begin to do is to paint a picture so that you can begin to see yourself using the Scriptures, and you can paint this own self-portrait of who you are in Christ Jesus. And I've entitled today's session, "In Him, Complete in Every Way." So again, we're going to begin with how He sees us, and what do we say? This is how we ought to see ourselves. Now, you can't just say, "Well, let me just read these things and ask to know what it looked like." No, these things come only by faith. They are revealed by the Spirit. It's like the devil has trying to put a curtain over our face and separate us from these truths. But our faith removes that curtain. The veil has been torn in two, and we can see ourselves this same way. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm about to use the word masterpiece, and that describes you. "Yeah, but I'm not. I know what I've done." You're a masterpiece in His eyes. "Yes, but I have pain in my body." We're talking about your spirit. And when you begin to believe these things, your spirit will dominate your body, and things will begin to fall off that have attached themselves to us and stayed for a long period of time. So let's go to Ephesians, the second chapter, and I'm going to read the 10th verse. And I'm going to stay for a couple of these verses in the New Living Translation. It just reads so well. It actually starts out, most translations will say workmanship. You'll understand that you're God's workmanship. Listen to the New Living. "For we are God's masterpiece," period. Period said for emphasis, because that's the truth. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us. We've already been recreated anew in Christ Jesus. So there's that phrase, in Christ Jesus. We were created new in Him. That's part of our in Him realities. And then it goes on to say, so that we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. Now, the word that is used there for masterpiece is poema. It's a word we actually get, and it's also, it can mean workmanship. Literally, it means something that is made. But we get the word poem for that. So let's think back. When someone who writes poetry writes one and it becomes world famous and it's their very best that they've ever done, what do they call that? That's my masterpiece of work. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's what we've been made to be. You know, it's God's workmanship. And pardon my English, but He don't make no junk. Now, are we fully living in it? No, not until we get this picture of ourselves, of who we are in Him. So this is what we're going to see today, that we're responsible to do the very best that God could produce. Now, I want you to see how He does it, how He did it, because you're probably sitting there saying, "Yeah, this is how He sees us, but how could that possibly be?" Well, He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. We see in 2 Corinthians that we've been made a new creation, chapter 5, verse 17, one that never before existed. This is this masterpiece that it's talking about in this. He has created us in our spirit, man new, by joining us to His spirit, as we saw earlier. And so maybe with this repetition, you're beginning to see a picture. But I want you to see why He's done it. Yes, He did it because of His love, but He's also got work for us to do. Don't forget the last phrase of this verse. What does it say? So that we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Now, I like to think of that verse in two ways. So that we can receive all He has for us, so that we are going about and doing what He's called us to do, doing those good things that He planned for us long ago. That's the reason that's one of the things we need to begin to see. You are the one who has been given the charge of reconciliation of the world to Him. I've said this earlier. There's no plan B. His desire is to use you and I. Yes, He could write it in the sky, do some phenomenal thing in the natural. But this is a spiritual revelation, and it comes by us doing those good things that He's planned for us, by us loving people, by us walking, being led by the Spirit, by having the power work in us. Now, let's take that thought then and go look at John, the 15th chapter, Big John, chapter 15, verse 5. And so this is Jesus talking, red letters in a New King James. Jesus says, "I am the vine and you're the branches. We've been joined in Him with the Spirit." Okay, makes sense then that what's in Jesus flows to us, just like when He's the vine and we're the offshoots of that vine, what's in the vine flows to us. That's what He's saying. And then look at this statement. He who abides in me. There's another one of those in me, in Christ, in Him. So what are we doing? We're abiding in Him with our union with the Holy Spirit. He goes on and says, and I'm in Him. So this is not just a one way. It is a two-way connection where we can communicate with Him and He lets what's in Him flow to us. Look what it says. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. I'll go on and tell you, we're told to produce fruit that remains. So what kind of fruit could that be? It could be healing fruit that we minister to others. But really the foremost thing that He's talking about is bringing people into the kingdom, reconciling the earth, the people in the earth, to Him. Now let me just read the whole verse. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So I want you to see, this is not talking about our works that the flesh produces. It's talking about what comes from our spirit and begins to dominate our flesh so that we are doing the things that the Spirit is leading us to do. Now, I want to go back and reinforce this with one other verse. We're seeing how it works. The Spirit dwelling in us. In Ephesians 2:21 in the New Living, it says this, we are carefully joined together in Him. Yeah, we're beginning to see that. Becoming a holy temple from the Lord. Your spirit is holy, made perfect. That's why it can be righteous. You've been separated from sin. But it's become a place where He chooses to dwell in us. Now, I want to just ask you this question because I just want you to get this picture. Yes, He wants to dwell in you no matter how you see yourself. You're not junk. He's not going to dwell in a junk piece of flesh. He dwells in a spirit that encapsulates Him from that flesh, but it also puts Him in a position to let that spirit that you're joined with Him in produce in our flesh so that we can receive the first fruits while we're here on the earth. And one of the first fruits we know is healing. So doing the good things He's planned for us, only in our union with Him, joined together with Him, we're not junk. Acts 17, verse 28. Now, open your heart on this one. For in Him, talking about in Christ Jesus, how? By the Spirit. So now when we're talking about in Him, I'm not going to keep saying Spirit and Jesus unless He prompts me to. But I want you to get this picture of that's one and the same. In Him, we live, we move, and we have our being. And it's interesting to me, he goes on and says, Paul says, as also some of your own poets, I mean, this is Luke writing, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are His offspring. So let's look back at that. All starts for why? In Him. And what does it say? He produces life in us. That life allows us to move, to do things in this fleshly body while that life is alive in us. And this is where we have, in this body, we have or we possess our being. In other words, we live from our spirit. It is what, joined with Him, produces life. And it allows us to function. When the spirit leaves your body, the body is no longer active. So it's His spirit in us, working in you and I. The same spirit that hovered over the earth when He said, light be. The same spirit that hovered over Mary to cause Jesus to be conceived and become the only begotten. That same spirit is what's at work in you and I, giving life to us. That's who we really are. And this has a connotation then, if you can begin to see this revelation, that Holy Spirit in us, that in Him, we ought to be able to live by the instruction of the Holy Spirit, the one who guides, directs. Certainly He comforts. But in Him, we live and move and have our being. Everything we do ought to flow from this union we have in our being in Christ Jesus. But I'm going to say again, you got to develop a picture of this is who you really are. Now, I like the way it ends. It says, for we are His offspring. Now, why is that important? Because we need to see ourselves as sons of God. We need to see ourselves as His offspring in Jesus and in me. Now, let me validate that with you with another scripture, Romans 8:16. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are what? God's children. We're sons of God. Now, ladies, don't get hung up in that. That's going to be a time when there's neither male nor female, neither no Jew nor Greek, not different races. We're all going to be one in Him. And as I've said before jokingly, if I can be the bride of Christ, you can be God's son. So in Him, we live and move and have our being. Then there's 2 Corinthians 4:14. And this is part of the picture that you need to begin to see yourself as. It needs to become a part of your identity so that these words come out of your mouth. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And then it goes on to say, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. So this says, He always leads us in triumph. This tells me that there's nothing that can come against us that we can't triumph over. Now, it may be a battle, but when we get this picture of who we are, that battle can become a little easier. And the more we see our identity in Him, then the more we see that we can walk as He did on this earth. And look at this last phrase. It goes back to us being the agents of reconciliation. It says, and through us, He diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. So this is, again, we live and move and have our being. Everything we do is from Him. And it diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. So things that we do produce, and it has a sweet-smelling aroma to Him. Romans 8:37 goes along with this. And it says, yet in all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. He was the conqueror. We have to enforce His victory here on the earth. So we are the more than conquerors. We didn't have to go conquer the devil. He's already done that. We just have to enforce it. Therefore, we can see ourselves as more than conquerors through Him. And why are we this way? Because He loved us. He gave His life for us. He's been made one with us. We're in Him, and He is in us. Now, you may be thinking, why and how could I ever be more than a conqueror? Well, 1 John 4, verse 4 gives us that answer. It says, you are of God. You know we're joined together. And then it calls us little children. How much He must look down sometime and think, oh my goodness. Little children. That's what we certainly look to Him to be sometimes, the way we get let little things bug us. But what do we know? we know that we are in Christ Jesus. Okay, and given that then, the verse goes on to say, you have overcome them. Now, it's talking about the spirits of Antichrist here. Anything that's bringing evil against us, anything that's bringing evil against others where we can stand in place for them. It says, you have overcome them, and here's the answer to the why or how can this be. Because he who lives in you is greater than he who is in the world. And who is that? Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, in union with my spirit. I'm in him, and he in me. And it's because of this that we have everything we get. An example of that, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now grab a hold of this. Of every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But it doesn't end there, does it? So God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How? Where? In Christ. In the Anointed One. Now, there are spiritual blessings, for sure, but many of them can manifest in our life. And how does it do that? As we believe and act on His Word. But I'm telling you, before you can believe and act on His Word, you've got to see yourself this way. Every spiritual blessing. 1 Timothy 4:4, and the grace of God was exceedingly abundant. Yes, while He did through Jesus and His blood, which is probably how we will close this study in the coming week. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are, and where do they come from? Here again. In Christ Jesus. And what did we see last week? We're in Him, we're in His love, and that's how faith works. And so when we act on that, the words about these blessings that He's given us through His grace, and they're abundant blessings, they're every spiritual blessing, then that is how they begin to manifest in this world as we go about doing the good things He's planned for us. This is a great verse. Philemon, verse 6. No, there's no chapter, just Philemon, only the one chapter. And as I say this, I want you to think about all that we've just seen and begin to think about all the good that dwells in you. Why? Because you're in Him and He in us. New American Standard says, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Now, that word fellowship there is the Greek word koinonia, which has many different meanings. It can mean sharing in, participating in, taking responsibility for. So let me read you what that's really saying using the Amplified. I pray that the participation in and the sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus. And it closes by saying, it's all for His glory. Full recognition and appreciation. Getting that picture, seeing this love, great love at work in you, so that we can share our faith with others, so that all see the abundance of goodness that dwells in us. Look at Philippians 4 with me, and I want to read four verses here. Again, some more in Him or through Him realities. So now we're beginning to put some fine touches on this painting. Be anxious for nothing. Now, you've seen that, and we've talked about it in multiple locations here in Scripture. It tells us how to do it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And we may need to talk a week about that, the fellowship of prayer. But look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So it's peace that your mind is never going to fully grasp, but you're going to have to believe it in your spirit, that in Him place. And look what the peace of God will do. It will guard your heart. Well, our spirit's protected. Yeah, that makes sense, Minton. But it also says it'll guard our minds. It will keep this body at peace. Things that the devil throws at you to make you be anxious will just bounce off of you when the peace of God is ruling in you. And how does that happen? How does that come to us? Through or in Christ Jesus. And peace, just let me remind you, our peace in Him means nothing missing, nothing broken. That's my spirit. And we've talked about love and faith producing it in my body. Can you see yourself that way? That's something we all need to nurture so that we truly get to a point where nothing on this earth causes a great consternation for us. Verse 13. Now, we quote this verse a lot. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But how can I do all things? The same way we've been made to be more than conquerors. The same way we've been made to be overcomers. Because it flows to me in my in Him, in my union relationship with Jesus. That gives you strength. That is the source of all spiritual strength that we have. Do all things and strengthen through Him. Now, you can't separate I can do all things from the being strengthened part of it. So verse 13 is important to verse 8 as well. And then there's verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from His glorious riches, not man's riches, from His. He may use man, but they're God's, which have been given to us. How? By us being in Christ Jesus. All that I receive, all that I qualify for, not by my works, but by my union with Him, comes because of that in Him status. Now, this one we read earlier, but I think today it's going to have a lot more meaning to us. And I say earlier, I think it was last week. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Him, in Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So, in Him, the fullness of God dwells, in Jesus. And you're joined with that now. That's important as you read verse 10. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Complete in Him. Perfected in Him. Might be a way some old translations would say it. You have all you need in your union with Jesus. So what must we do? We'll begin to wrap it up with a few verses. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So part of painting this picture is seeing ourselves so that we change the way we think of ourselves from being downcast, downtrodden, beaten down, run over, to becoming more than a conqueror. And then this is of what I want you to see in verse 24. To do that, we can hear these words, but then we have to put on the new man which was created according to God in righteousness and holiness. How do we put on? We choose to believe. We meditate these things. We speak these words. This is who I am. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Greater is He that dwells in me than he that's in the earth. Therefore, I can be an overcomer. Saying those things about us, putting the fine touches on the painting of how you see yourself in Him. The New Living Translation for verse 24, really good. Put on your new nature, created to be like God. Now, you may say, whoa, I can't be. No, this is His words, not mine. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. That's who we are. Now, how do we know we're beginning to mature in some of these things? 1 John 2, 5, New Living, again, says, those who obey God's words. Now, let me just stop there. Before you can physically, in your body, obey His words, you have to spiritually obey His words and begin to believe this picture that we're painting in our identity that we are who Jesus says we are. So those who obey God's word have the correct identity of how God describes them, truly show how completely they love Him. That is how we know we're living in Him. because we're becoming like Him. We don't look at what the world says as things that's going to destroy us, because we know in Him we live, we move, we have our being. Yes, there may come a day, just as Stephen did, laid down and gave himself and saw Jesus as he did, standing to welcoming him. But in Him is how we overcome. Close with this one, a pet peeve of mine, about the way people talk about themselves. And this is another way you're going to know it, is when you keep saying what I'm about to say here. In 1 Corinthians, first chapter, the second verse, Paul writing says, to the church of God, the people, not a temple, not a building, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified, who are set apart. How? In Jesus. Is that you? If you've been born again, yes. If you haven't been, contact us and we'll lead you through that. So let me start back. To those who have been sanctified in Christ, called to be saints. Now, some of you are saying, man, I ain't called to be no saint. I'm not a saint. But I am an old sinner saved by grace. That's not what it says. This is written to the church, people who are sanctified, set apart from the world in Christ Jesus, to God, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, let me just say, this verse gives you your identity. In the eyes of the Lord, you are His saint. You are His blameless one. You are the beloved one. You are the one whose work and who's showing the knowledge of His goodness in the earth produces a sweet fragrance. So this is your identity. You're a saint. You're not a sinner. You're not even an old sinner. You were a sinner, but your spirit became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that's where we live and we move and we have our being. This is what we've seen today that we need to put on to renew our mind so that we see ourselves exactly as He sees us, who we are in our beloved Lord Jesus. Meditate these things. Go over them. Speak them over yourself. Watch yourself change. Why? Because you're beginning to put these things on and renew your mind to who we really are in Christ Jesus. Love you guys. Thank you so much for being with us. And we'll be wrapping this up in the next week or two.